And no need to wait that long for sports, because that's where we're going to start this hour as well. Dr. Debbie Strowman joining us now on the line for another round of Strowman on Sports. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to see our sunshine back.
Absolutely. And a beautiful weekend or beautiful week coming up for obviously college basketball fans, with March Madness still going on, Carolina still in it, Duke in it. If you're an NIT fan, NC State still in it. So a lot of basketball yet to come for the next couple of days.
There is no doubt this is the most troubling time for basketball fans, because you're trying to juggle major projects, deadlines, trying to hide your passion for basketball away from your manager, your peers, or your boss who aren't into it. So we see a lot of escapism. We see a lot of water cooler talk. All of those things get elevated during this time period. And certainly for those of us in the state of North Carolina, I think this is the third holiday besides Super Bowl and, of course, our general holidays around December and November. But this is really a special time.
Absolutely. And a particularly special year this year, because, I mean, a lot of people, I called it, Jay Billis called it, a number of other figures filling out their brackets were calling that Carolina-Duke final that we haven't seen yet that may still transpire this year in both teams. Duke certainly struggling a little bit more through the first couple of rounds and very, very lucky to escape Central Florida in round two. But they're a team to be reckoned with. Carolina's been playing great. A lot of other teams could potentially make it into the Final Four and make that title game. But Carolina and Duke both looking good this year.
They are. I think people are so used to UNC and the system, and it works every year. The expectations are very, very high. But again, I will continue to repeat this. We cannot take the brilliance of Coach Roy Williams and his staff for granted. There are many, many universities that would love to just be in the March Madness tournament, let alone, you know, Sweet 16 or Final Four, or even a champion. And so the tried and true, and I'll go back to the basketball analytics. The summit is April 12th and 13th.
Right.
But the importance of rebounding, not turning the ball over, making your free throws, and having good high percentage shots, that has been the key to UNC basketball, and it works. In terms of Duke, yes, they have shifted. Many people would say that's the brilliance of Coach K, that he has shifted his style, not to be a strong defensive team and lock down man-to-man defense in a system, but he now has changed his coaching to go with the type of players that he brings in. And so right now he's riding the wave of young talent that could possibly be in the NBA the next year. And he's basically given the ball to a point guard and said, make it happen. And that point guard has NBA talent around them, and it's been working for Duke. Now, there were some exception years where they got upset. In particular, I remember Lehigh. But for the most part, Duke has, again, they're enjoying being at the top of the mountain, so to speak, in terms of basketball play.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, talking about March Madness right now, and we've been talking about Carolina and Duke so far, but most of the favorites advanced to the Sweet 16, kind of a rare year for that. Other than Oregon, no real Cinderellas, no real big underdogs. Every game's looking pretty good for the rest of the tournament. So beyond Carolina and Duke, so you've got Virginia playing well after struggling in the first half against Gardner-Webb. Gonzaga's playing great. Michigan State's banged up, but they're still cruising through. I know you've been high on Texas Tech. Who else might emerge out of these final 16 teams and maybe get in the way of a Carolina-Duke final?
Well, there are two teams that I will definitely mention. The first is Purdue. Mm-hmm. Many people feel that the way Tennessee is built, the way they play, and especially in the last 3 minutes, just give the ball to definitely a first-round NBA player in Grant Williams for Tennessee, that it's all over. But I did pick Purdue to go to the next round, and so I'm watching them. I would also say Houston. Many people are not paying attention to them, but Kelvin Sampson has been a winner every place that he's gone to, also had some NCAA troubles. But the man can coach, and I think they just have two or three losses on the year. And so I would not be surprised if Houston beat Kentucky. It is a 2-3 matchup. So the way those guys play, hard, very, very, very aggressive in their play, and Kentucky being young, I would not be surprised if that were a victory for Houston.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, talking March Madness, all those games in the Sweet 16 are going to be tomorrow and Friday. And again, UNC taking on Auburn Friday at 7:30. We'll have that game for you right here on WCHL. Let's go up a level to the NBA and move off the court, because there's kind of a developing controversy in an ESPN.com story about Tim Hardaway, who is, of course, long retired, not in the Basketball Hall of Fame, although he's certainly got numbers that would suggest at least strong consideration at the very least for the Hall of Fame. And there's a story up now about an interview that was done with Hardaway in which he said that the reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is because of some real homophobic comments that he made back in 2007. And whether he made them is not in question. He was in public when he did it, and he spent a lot of time trying to kind of atone for that over the years. But he was saying in this recent interview that he's still kind of paying the price for it in terms of not getting a Hall of Fame recognition. What are your thoughts about that?
Wow, so many things in my mind about this situation. Tim Hardaway, myself being a point guard, Tim Hardaway was one of my favorite players. And it's interesting when you get older and you understand that these players, they're not gods. They're just humans with all their frailties like everybody else. And they can say stupid things. And it kind of hurts you and pinches you, especially when they were an idol. Now, Tim Hardaway, I've respected his game, arguably one of the best pure point guards in the NBA history, and arguably the best at his position not to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But he was a five-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA performer. He has over 15,000 points, 7,000 assists. He was a part of the team with Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond when they had that phrase run TMC. But as we know, and especially with social media, where this thing can continue to have a life, when he made those very, very ugly comments, I turned away from Tim Hardaway. And I think the lesson for all of us is that you have to be very, very careful with your words in terms of when you are speaking against someone or something, that a very organized movement can stay with you. Even though we believe in forgiveness in our country, we believe in second chances, there are some things that you will definitely pay a price for. It is very strange that he is not in the Hall of Fame. And I think I'd have to agree with him that that type of statement, those homophobic comments, are living with him today in terms of the Hall of Fame selection.
And certainly not the only one. I mean, you think about the Baseball Hall of Fame, which kind of goes through this every year. Obviously, a lot of people got caught up in the steroid scandals. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, kind of most notably, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Rafael Palmeiro. These are just the names that I'm thinking off the top of my head who aren't in the Hall of Fame because of they're getting caught up in the whole steroid scandal from the 90s and 2000s. And you also have figures like Curt Schilling, who has certainly at the very least borderline Hall of Fame numbers and really stepped up in a lot of significant big games that we can think of, but isn't in the Hall of Fame and isn't even remotely getting close to enough votes to be considered for the Hall of Fame. And people saying it's got a lot to do with the fact that he is very vocally political in a, I'll be charitable and say not politically correct way, but kind of going out of his way to make a lot of ugly comments on a fairly regular basis, more than Tim Hardaway, who just kind of did it that one time, or in a couple of interviews rather, but Curt Schilling kind of doing it regularly. And this conversation comes up in Hall of Fames, just kind of with every sport. What should a Hall of Fame do when it comes to recognizing and honoring and glorifying people who did a lot of great things on the court or on the field, but have characters or had characters at the very least that are not worth honoring and not worth glorifying?
Well, I think it is the timeless debate as to whether or not we want to recognize skills and performance in your sport versus character. And I think we can see this also happening in many awards in terms of academia, whether or not you recognize that jerk professor, scholar, or student, or whether or not you say it's the body of work. Let's just focus on the work. I think in sports, again, because we have this love affair with our athletes, we want to see people who go into the hall who represent the game. And part of that representation is how successful you were against your opponents, you know, with your own skill development, how you progressed and succeeded. But the other part is that you represent that league or that governing body. And so if you have someone who, you know, did drugs, whether it was steroids, whether it was some other type of recreational drug that was illegal, whether or not they had a problem with domestic violence, run-ins with the law, even though they're a great, great athlete, what does it look like when you're going through the museum and you see their bust or you see their plaques and their digital displays and sizzle reels about that athlete? Will you be distracted by their bad behavior, their terrible comments? That's what these organizations have to weigh. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, it's so, so challenging because now you're weighing, you're almost ranking levels of bad behavior. Does somebody get in because they had a problem with their spouse, their partner, and it ended up into some type of legal matter? Or are we going to draw the line at those who had a federal crime? You know, so it's very, very difficult, but I think the best thing that these organizations need to do is create the rule and stick with it. Mm-hmm. Going back and forth and weighing things differently, that's where it gets very, very problematic and confusing for fans.
Tim Hardaway has done a lot since 2007 to try to atone for the comments that he made back then. Can he ever do enough?
Well, I would hope so. I'm a big believer in forgiveness. But in terms of, you know, these positions, in the positions of those who vote, the positions of those who run the organization, you might have to wait for a particular leadership group to retire or leave before you'll see that change. But I know the spirit in the sense that once you gain more information and you spend time with people who may be of a particular sexual orientation or religious values or skin color, and then, you know, what's the saying? When you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure he's had growth and besides all the things that he had to do that the league required for him to do. So I'm hopeful, but I would not be surprised if we have to wait until someone retires and a new leadership group comes in.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and she mentioned the Basketball Analytics Summit, which is coming up beginning on April 12th, and you can get more information on that online at basketballanalyticssummit.com. Got to wrap up this conversation, but before we do, kind of moving away from sports a little bit, but kind of talking about controversial figures who have made some controversial statements publicly. You're also the chair of the Human Relations Commission for Orange County. And on Sunday of this week, March 31st, Linda Sarsour is going to be speaking at the Witted Building in Hillsborough, brought in by the Human Relations Commission. That's kind of generated some controversy in terms of people kind of pushing back against the comments that she made and wondering why she's being asked to speak. What are your thoughts on the reaction that that the invite has gotten, and what are your thoughts on Linda Sarsour and the beginning that led to the invitation in the first place?
Well, it's Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Doesn't it make sense that we would have this going on? Linda Sarsour is known as a global community organizer and political activist. Part of this interest in Ms. Sarsour is because of her very, very extensive history as a as an advocate for the underserved. Some people might know her because she was the one of the directors of the Women's March in 2017-2019. She's also a Muslim, and she's of Palestinian descent. She was recognized by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people. And so the Human Relations Commission, in particular, thought that she was an appropriate speaker for Women's History Month. And her topic is not on the Middle East. Her topic is not on Jewish, Israeli, Palestinian relations. It's about intersectional feminism. I think I'm hopeful that people remember the words of Audre Lorde, who said that there is no such thing as a single issue struggle because we do not live single issue lives. And so Ms. Sarsour has been invited to talk about how we work together, how we organize movements where we know that there are different identities that show up. How can we bridge that gap as women, understanding that unity is not uniformity? So we're hopeful that people will, it is sold out, so to speak, when I use the air quotes, but we will be at the Witted Building in Hillsboro, and we're looking forward to hearing her message. We encourage those to come out and be supportive of First Amendment rights. And, of course, as always, we are Orange County. We will have lots of dialogue. We will go back and forth, and we will continue to debate. But we do look forward to Linda Sarsour's visit.
That's going to be Sunday at 3 o'clock in Hillsboro. You want more information on it? OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website for more information there. And that'll do it for Stroman on Sports for this week. Dr. Debbie Stroman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.